On the line from Canada, we have Paul Michael. And Paul Michael, you're actually fairly close to Ottawa, right?
Toronto.
Toronto, okay. I just want to get placed where you are. You're on the lakefront there?
We're along the lake shore, about 3 kilometers north. And we'd be about 78 kilometers away from Toronto to the east.
Now, you actually drive to work every day, a fairly good distance, I think.
90 kilometers round trip.
So, let's talk a little bit about your videos and your sightings and your pictures and your experiences and bring our listeners up to date. You're a family man, and we might, I guess we ought to start this off by saying anything happening to you recently.
Just a lot of sort of like flickering of the lights.
Now, when you mean that flickering of the lights, you mean when you walk in or something?
Well, it depends sometimes of, you know, what's going on. There's no pattern. It's just suddenly the lights will flash on and off. Okay? Now, I'm not talking just like a quick second flash. I'm talking like a, you know, almost like a 3 second pause. And then they come back on.
Do other people notice this?
Yeah, they do.
They'd have to. Has anybody connected that it seems to be connected with when you're there?
I think so. I'm getting a lot of stares from the majority, but there's a small core of people that know that there's been strange happenings exciting around me.
Your first experience happened way back in 1963. You're not that old, so you had to be fairly young.
Well, something that brings back to mind of 1963 wasn't really given total awareness until August 13, 2003, and that was abduction.
Well, let's talk about a little bit about that for a minute. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about that story, if you don't mind? I mean,
we'll go right into the core of it, Ben. I have met with somebody in the paranormal, discussed with them my sightings up to 2002, and after he says, well, any bad childhood dreams, and he says, tell me about them, so I told him, and what I told him is what I'll tell you. I remember I was being carried out by two tall white beings. They were walking like their legs were robotic, similarly leg type. I remember trying to look in the face of one of them and gave me a stare that scared me to look into their face. My head was hanging down, and as we're passing my parents' bedroom door, I looked in and it looked like a different vision, you know, like a different kind of like air, you know, different, like a dreamlike state, looking at your parents sleeping. And I wanted to yell or wake, but they were sleeping. They were, you know, totally out. And the only thing I could move was my eyes. And I could remember walking past the parents' bedroom door, and I could not move. I was paralyzed. And I remember the next thing being in a cornerless room. It was like a murky white kind of room. And these creatures, and I can only best describe them because I can't see their faces, but it was almost like snowmen, is what I remember, and I'm telling you exactly what I remember. One would be holding me. Now, I wouldn't be looking at the face, but I could see the movement of the head looking me from head to toe, checking me out, holding me like a child. Of course, I was a child. I was only four. And would throw me to the other one. And the same thing that creature would do.
What were they doing, having a game?
That's what seems to be happening, is they started feeling it was some kind of a jovial game. Like they had some kind of humor about themselves, about me being tossed around like a ball.
Were they making any noises?
I don't recall any kind of noises, but I felt there was humor in the group.
So yeah, you had to have some kind of clue that they were kidding around with each other.
Something like that, yeah, like it was what you would call an inside joke between them. They were just checking me out, and it was... You know, it was horrifying for me because I can remember flying in the air, you know, wiggling my leg, you know, because you're afraid.
Yeah, you don't know if you're flying through the air, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And in this cornerless room, I don't remember any table or any furniture. It was just like a sort of an open concept thing. And through these volley of dreams, of ongoing dreams, they'd be in the house, okay, coming after me. But what goes right into it, which will bring it to one of your experiencers in Ohio, George Ritter, is that I seemed to be introduced to some kind of white light, okay, but it was getting bigger. And I could remember almost the sound with it, and I'll try and imitate it, but it was sort of like...
So you could hear it actually making the noise, and that backs up stories I've heard from New Mexico, where they have a rod. You know, you can hear the thing. Did it get close to you?
When it got close up to me, it totally surrounded me or encompassed me like a crushing sensation, and I mean crushing, and I was awakened in my bed, screaming to the top of my lungs, in a high fever, very high temperature, because I remember my father saying, should we take him to the hospital? And my mother said, that's all right, we'll cool him down, I'll give him a cloth on his head and take him to my bed. And I didn't calm down for the rest of the night, okay? I was very, very jolted by something. And I remember, back around those days, that my mother would want to take me into a department store that, of course, have mannequins displaying their clothes. And I remember I was afraid of the mannequins, okay? I remember my mother trying to pull my arm into the store, and I said, no, mummy, the mummies. This happened in 1963, and I've always written it off as a dream until I got to the investigator in 2002, because I approached the investigator because of my ninth sighting that I had witnessed from 1967 to 2002 of two lights going in unison, and I brought out my flashlight and I flashed both lights in the sky, and they were behaving in the speed of probably less than a Cessna. They were very high, no jet sound, and I'm watching them for about another minute. And I saw them, they didn't turn, they just redirected and went to the west over the lake. And that really freaked me out. And that's what brought me to the investigators to say, you know, what is going on? Okay? And I had to tell him all that I knew, and that's when he came into the dream part. And I even looked at him, Gary, after that, after he said, I believe you've been abducted, and that you sound like a special case. And I looked at him and I said, you know, I don't know if I can go there with that. What I did find out in the Bahamas, which is really uncanny, okay, just to give you an insight, is that it was Ronald Reagan, reptilians, insects, and nuclear war. There were signals of existence. I went to the Bahamas with a book, I don't know why, with a book of Nostradamus and bioengineering in my arm. And I was in the Bahamas on my own. And I know I was abducted 2003 again, 14 sightings, 12 of them daytimers, 2 of them nighttimers, and of course this flying creature, and, you know, the awareness of abduction, and, you know, strange occurrences happening on the ground as well of 2003. But the flying creature, that happened at camp. Now, that would be in southern Ontario, 80 kilometers south of Trenton. Also, there's a military base there, too, to note. And I'm right down on the lakeshore there at camp, at the sandbanks of Lake Ontario. And I had one or two nights previously seen a UFO going across the sky. It was a translucent cigar-shaped object going across the sky. But a couple of nights after, my kids were in the tent sleeping, and I went up to camp showers to get a shower at 1 o'clock, you know, and I was just finishing my smoke outside before going in at the picnic table there, standing, and at the back, now, you got to understand, camp is quiet now at 1 o'clock. There ain't really nobody up, okay, and there was a single light on a pole, and out of nowhere, well, coming from the east, but it was probably about 6 to 7 feet high and off the ground, about 5 or 6 feet away from me. What I witnessed was like a broom handle stick of a body, okay, 90% of it, okay, I would say looked like a broom handle stick, okay, and it was grayish white, and it had two eyes on it up near the front. I didn't see a beak or a mouth. okay? And behind this broom handle stick had a flurry of brilliant white wings. And even when the creature came near me at first, I could even hear the gyration of almost something like a fan.
And that backs up stories I've heard from New Mexico, where they have a rod.
Okay, I've seen things in the sky. I've had close encounter, and you know, it was. This was, of course, you got to remember my awareness of abduction before I knew on August 13th. This creature, it really stirred me. It really stirred me because, to me, you could almost classify it like a flying snake, okay? Or, you know, garpike. You know, it just looks so slim with two eyes at the front of it and this gyration of wings. And it came at me, and I saw it, okay? It just went, flew past me, and it did a figure eight and then went back the way it came in. And, like, I'm leaning against the picnic table going, my God, what have I just seen? Shaking. Okay, and then after a minute, just sort of getting myself together, the thing came back, like, about another 20, 30 feet away at a distance. And I couldn't get a close description of it because it was more in the dark away from the light. But I saw it do the same thing and gone. And I was just so freaked out, I ran into the shower stall and tried to calm down through the shower of what I'd just seen.
So you literally turned the shower on?
Oh, yeah. Popped the coins in and started taking my shower. I was frightened. I was in awe. I was, of course, sort of coupled with fascination, like, what was it I just saw? But it really put a fright in me.
And you placed this one a few days before August 18th?
This was on either August 6th or 7th.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I've cataloged a lot of 2003 and 4 because, you know, there's been over like 30 sightings.
I don't blame you for keeping, you know, a diary about it. Yeah, I mean, this is just amazing. Yeah. Now, the eyes, they were dark, I imagine.
They were large and dark.
Mm-hmm.
Not like overly large, but they were there.
Do you remember if they were moving around, the eyes?
I can't say I saw the eyes separately moving, but they were like fixed on the thing.
Oh, lots of eyes. Lots of eyes.
No, two eyes. One on each side, okay? And it was near the front, okay? And I know what I saw. They were either brown or they were black. Okay? I would probably say they were more black. But the entire body of it, except for the wings, were like a whitish gray. And even at the side, okay, around the central part of this rod, I could see a little discoloration, like a little difference in color, you know. Now, I don't think it was a wing, or maybe it was. But it wasn't moving, like he didn't flop out.
Might have been legs or something pushed up. That's hard to say. Now, did this flickering of the lights, electric lights, did it start after this? When you go in some places like shopping centers? I mean, I understand you've gone to shopping centers and the lights actually flicker. I mean, is that a fairly recent occurrence?
No. This goes back to October 15th, 2003. This one you might find rather fascinating. Of course, there was a flurry of activity and lots of stories before all this. It happened on October 15th, 2003, and of course, my awareness that I felt, because the outage is happening around the world in 2003, I felt it was going to be a worldwide outage, and I felt it was going to be on October 13th. But, of course, that never happened, thank God. But what did happen is, in Ontario, we had outages throughout Ontario on October 15th. Now, that was probably due to gale force winds, you know, knocking lines down and such. But in my place of work, I came in late, around 8:30, I'm supposed to report for 8. And about after 10 minutes I was in, coming out of the washroom, the power went out just in our building. And I noticed that the bathroom light that I came out of was still 30% on. After coming out of the bathroom, I walked into another door, which is the filing cabinet room, with a girl, and the lights were, as I'm walking through, were on about 20-30% power, and the rest of the building was out. So I came back out into my work area, and the lights that I noticed were also on above me. Now, these are fluorescent lights. There was like six of them above me on my workstation, and they were on about 20-30%. neck. And I thought, boy, that's kind of weird, but I didn't think much of it because, you know, it could be some kind of, you know, brownout or whatever, you know, a bit of surge left in some area. So I would step down off where I work, down the dock, and outside I could look through into my work area, the lights would be off. I would finish the smoke, come back in, it would come back on. Okay, only at about 20-30%. By now, the rest of the place is out, but not around where I am. Above me, they're on. So I start playing games, going out for another smoke, and I look, and again, they would be off. Come back in, they come back on. Showed it to a coworker. Now, the coworker's a little freaked out about this, but, that, you know, it is what it is. We do have skylights in the warehouse itself, so there is some lighting happening, so you can see in the warehouse. The kicker about all this, about an hour and a half later, the manager, the operations manager, asked me to help him find something in the warehouse. So as we walked across the warehouse, the lights were cascading and flickering in the rows as we walked across the warehouse. Okay, like you understand there's rows of fluorescent lights, but they, as we passed each row, the first row or the first set of lights of each row would be flashing along as we walked. And then when we stopped in the area, okay, the lights were flickering very brightly on and off above us, just above us. And he looked up and he says, "What's going on with the lights?" And I looked at him and I said, "I don't know, power outage," because I had to play stupid. You know, I was getting pretty spooked about all this because I thought, is it me or is there something around me? So, you know, you're at your place of work. You don't want to start a witch hunt, as they say, at work. You know, that is, you know, something you don't want to see lost, your livelihood over something like this. So, you know, you're not going to, you know, start telling, as some people might classify, wild things. Okay, who don't understand. So I let it go, and basically that's when I first realized about these things going on with the lights and I. I've been driving, and I'd be going up a street, and then on the other side of the street, a string of lights about half a kilometer would go out. I'd be at the place across the street, the rec center there, and I would be talking to a man in the change room, talking about my son, how, you know, if he gets, you know, his shirt dirty. I was just sort of in a joking way. I was loud, and I said, "You'd have to shout it out." Well, guess what happens? Power goes out. Okay? Not just in the facility, but in the neighborhood. What also is very strange about all this, and any residents who live in Oshawa will know this, in 2003, from January to April, we had a lot of outages, Jerry. Okay? I'm talking like a minute outage, a flick, you know, like a flashing clock outage. They were happening almost every day.
And have they calmed down now, or is it still happening?
Big time.
Okay.
Not like they used to be. But, you know, we have had outages. Now, the outage I reported to you just then about the lights following me was on October 15, 2003. Well, guess what happens October 15, 2004? It's a happy anniversary. The power went out for 3 minutes. And in a small radius of Scarborough.
Huh.
Another coincidence, maybe?
Well, it's kind of stretching the odds a little, don't you think? Well, you know, when you first started talking about that, I was thinking, well, maybe this guy is being, you know, under some sort of surveillance.
I was thinking about that deeply, about maybe some kind of a different implant.
You know, I mentioned the word surveillance. Do the authorities, What do you chalk this up to? I know you got some pictures of black helicopters around. I don't know what that's about.
Well, I'll tell you, I've seen a lot of black helicopters. Okay, I've seen on the highway sitting there before I hit the 401, which is the mainstream getting home on the highway, and that was probably around 1999. We had a lot of black helicopters passing in the summer. So one would always be sitting there on the highway before I get up there, about a kilometer short, it would pull off. Also south of us, the southern Scarborough, always after activity. And also here in Oshawa, I've seen black activity, and this was back in 99. I believe it was, we moved out here in Oshawa in 97, I believe a year, it was either 89, or it might have well been 99, in the summer, we had two jet fighters over our house very low with a Transport Hercules that flew over twice, shaking the windows, and I mean very low.
Now, have you been contacted by anybody you think might be military?
Probably around 1999, it was in winter, and I met some staff coming out of the bar, and we just seemed to click talking, and we went into a coffee shop. We sat down in the coffee shop, and he started talking to me, you know, general stuff. And I started talking to him, and another woman came and sat down with us. Now, the woman I can describe briefly is, very mysterious eyes that you would classify as gypsy eyes.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And I brought up the subject about UFOs, and she right away said, well, there were two large silver ships going over Whitby that she noticed in 1954, before the sun was coming up. And so our friend here claims to tell me that he works with Bill Gates, and he is the inventor of the magnetic strip. And he starts talking physics to me like I'm a simpleton, and laughing at me like I'm a simpleton. And I noticed on his fingers, he had all kinds of different rocks on his fingers, like Yellowstone, Greenstone, Blue Stone, Red Stone.
You're talking about several rings?
Yes. Well, uh-huh. Five anyway in the hand there. Maybe four, excluding the thumb, but they're pretty big rocks. And he looked at me, and he said, don't be surprised if the CIA or the FBI don't storm this coffee shop. And I'm just like, what? Okay, like, what are you talking about? Okay.
Yeah.
And he starts talking.
Did this woman have big rings on, too?
No, she didn't.
Okay.
She didn't. So He's still going on about the physics stuff, and he says, look, I have to go. I have to get a plane to Tampa. He's still not cold. Not at all. Okay? And even while I was talking to him, I said, is there an extraterrestrial war going on right now with reptilian and homo sapien? And he looked at me, and he wasn't answering me, and he was looking up, and I said, is that a UFO up in the sky? And there was a light above us. Okay, not directly above us, but coming in towards us, and he was looking at it. And I just ignored it, and I just wanted some answers off him. He was like the Riddler. He wasn't giving me straight answers. So then as we finally got near a driveway, a car started up. And I kept, piping up with the questions, because, you get real curious because he's, giving me a little bit of taste. And he goes, look, I have to go. I said, can't you give me a ride back to my car? You've walked me way out here. And he says, hold on. And while the car was on, he was pushing on his palm, and the car was revving. Now, I don't know if he had a control starter in his other hand, okay, but I noticed he was pushing on the palm of his hand, and the car was revving, okay? Then he went up to the house, and there was a young man, tall, and he was talking to him, and he looked over at me, and they're both looking at me. And then he came back to the car, and he says, okay, we can give you a ride if you want, okay? And so the young fella came into the car, and I go, okay. And then he stops in the destination near where my car was, and I extended my hand. I said, it was very nice meeting you, and I believe his name was Eugene. And he said, and by the way, Paul, everything you said is true.
And that was his closing comment?
Yeah, and I even asked him too, Larry, or Jerry. I asked him, as in the walk, I said, am I marked? And he looked at me, and he smiled, and he says, we're all marked. He says, nothing can hurt you. I go, what do you mean nothing can hurt me? I go, what about radiation? He looked at me and says, well, yeah, it can, destroy your shell. So he was kind of like the Riddler.
What kind of voice did this guy have?
Normal voice, I would say. This is why I've come to you guys, because out of all the researchers in our area here and all the web reading I've been doing, I came to you guys because you and Larry and your team seem to be right on the bullseye here at the dartboard, okay, exactly, of what's doing. Right now I lift my hat to all you folks. All the experiences have come public, okay, because these guys are probably the bravest on the planet right now.
Well, I've noticed, and Larry's agreed with me, it's almost like You guys are on a mission.
Well, I think the mission for me is just to send the message. I am not looking for glory. I am not looking for recognition. I am not looking for money. I am just looking to send or pass over the message. And the message is, they're here and they're not going. And the way I look at it is that now we're dealing with one level, we're dealing with another level of ETs, okay? We've had the lower levels here for centuries, for sure. But as far as I see it, there's higher ones moving in. Absolutely. There are different levels of ETs. And 2003, which I've never seen before, are the plasma lights. Now, there's something to talk about.
Let's talk about that.
Certainly, because after that event, which happened late August, I'm just briefly looking here. Yeah, it was August 29th on a Friday. You know, the coworker himself, those bands of light, he was freaked out for the rest of the day. He wouldn't talk to anybody. Even the coworker says, what's wrong with him? Because he was shocked, Jerry. He was totally shocked what he saw. So what happened after that, during the day, I got in my car and I was going home and I stopped at the intersection and I looked up through my sunroof and what do I see? For the first time in my life, this white, bright plasma light directly above me. Okay, now I'm talking like probably thousands of feet, maybe 10, maybe 20, but it was there and it was big. Okay, this wasn't a little twinkle twinkle in the star. It was like blazing high above me.
Wow, and you could see it through the sunroof and it was still very bright.
You could see straight up. And even a motorist, oriental guy beside me, looking, you know, trying to see what I'm looking at. And I just point and I go, look, and the light changed and I moved on and I went north. And then about two major intersections, I stopped because I'm at the light. Of course, well, yeah, I'm going to look up and what do I see? The same thing again. Okay, like what's up with that? Now you wonder, you know, now I was starting to get a little afraid here. Okay, because it looks like, you know, somebody's following me or something's following me. So I got home, you know, told some people, let it go. Well, the following Saturday here in Oshawa, around quarter after one, I'm on my deck. What do I see? A UFO flap taking place. These were objects that were round, whitish, and they were tumbling like they were changing shape. And I just recently come across one of those on Brian Bike's updates on February 7th in Arizona. Same object, guaranteed. When you see the video or review it, you can see it changing shape, and it's rolling. That's exactly what I saw here. I saw 5 to 6 of those. And then I left the house. I had a neighbor across the street who had first sight of these, my wife. Well, you know, she couldn't use the binoculars, but she was like, well, what are those? And had some kids there on the driveway. I had to run and go and pick up my other son in the neighboring town, which is only like 8 minutes away. And when I stopped and got out of the car and I looked up in the sky, somebody had released some balloons now. All these white balloons were flying all over the place. And so I picked up my children, my child and his friend, and we went back. And, of course, when we got home, my wife right away, oh, boy, they're balloons. And I go, the first 5 or 6 were not balloons. The other ones were much higher, and the behavior and speed were much different. But I could not convince her on that.
So you think the authorities or somebody released balloons to cover it up?
I believe there's been a case like that in Mexico numerous times, too, with silver balloons.
Why do you think these governments, the United States, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, why do you think they cover up these things?
Because I don't think they want people to be aware of them. Let's look at this, Gary. Okay? If I came to you from another world and said, I can offer mankind techniques of free energy, and I can offer you how to heal yourself, who's going to lose?
Well, part of the population, the establishment for sure, and just those illustrations, the oil business and the energy business, the power business, and, of course, the medical profession. Well, with that, it's a good way to end the show. And you've got lots of things to talk about yet, and we'll be back again and do another show one of these days pretty soon. And I want you to keep me informed about what's happening. And Larry, he's quite enamored with the conversations he's had with you. Larry Dickham, we're talking about, our executive producer and webmaster and partner of the UFO file.
Yeah, we're on the same frequency for sure. It's really something. I will send you anything photographic that comes into my hands right away.
Okay, we appreciate that. Now, you have any closing thoughts about all of this?
Okay, a lot of hits come in August. And I find two to watch for full moon, new moon, first quarter, last quarter. Over 75% of my sightings for 2003 and 4 have been on those given days.
We wish you good luck, and I understand, you know, how you feel about it all, and not completely, because I haven't experienced the things you have.
I have quite a lot of witnesses, children, people at work, even strangers, you know, the ones in Toronto, that's another story. I mean, we're talking like large black manta ray type craft in the day.
Yeah, and we hear about those every once in a while. As far as one final thought about this fellow that we talked about that you met, that you walked in the cold and he never got cold and there was zero, how did you make contact with him? I mean, did he walk up to you, or you walk up to him, or you remember?
I think I walked up to him because I'm a friendly person to just about anybody, you know. I'm just, you know, just sometimes, you know, a chit-chatter. And, of course, you know, when you're deeper into the city, people look at you strange, like, what are you talking to me for?
Yeah, this guy wants something. No, I know what you're saying. So you probably... started the contact with him, and then all of a sudden, for some reason, and then all of a sudden, you were really infatuated by the aura of him so much that you didn't even pay much attention to the other woman. I mean, to the woman.
Or really anybody else.
Yeah.
I was focused on him, because I wouldn't let go of this guy. But like I say, throughout most of the conversation, he was like the Riddler, and he claimed he had a very high IQ. I think it's something like 185. And he claims to me that he stopped the mark of the beast. And you know what? This guy, when he spoke to you, he didn't sound like he was insane. Very overly intelligent.
What do you think the mark of the beast would have looked like if he's shown it to you?
I really don't know. It you know, when we read up today of what's going on, it could be even an inoculation. You know, it's that small.
Yeah, you're right. Paul, we appreciate you taking the time, and it's going to keep our eyes open for August.
Thank you very much.
Okay, talk to you later.